Good day and welcome to AFE Q3 Results Presentation Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'll now turn the call over to Eric Berrett. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us for this call. Justin, Tim, and I will take you through the presentation, and we'll open the line for the Q&A session at the end. As usual, can I please draw your attention to the disclaimer on page one of the presentation, and in particular, the comment regarding forward-looking statements. I will now pass on to Justin for the Q3 highlights.
Thanks, Eric. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us. As previously announced, at the end of Q3, we completed a carve-out of AnaCap's credit business from AnaCap Financial Partners to create Veld Capital. This includes the entire dedicated credit investment and operations teams, as well as all existing funds, including our closed-end credit opportunities, real estate funds, as well as AIF and our asset solutions platform. Day-to-day management is thus broadly unchanged, with AnaCap's founder and other private equity-focused personnel remaining with AnaCap, which will maintain its specialized focus on private equity in the financial services sector. As for ongoing business performance, AIF delivered another strong quarter, the company's 11th consecutive quarter of outperformance to forecast, with year-to-date gross attributable collections of 108.4 million, or 46% up on the nine-month period year-on-year. As a result, adjusted EBITDA for the same period reached 80 million euros, with last 12 months' adjusted EBITDA now at 124.2 million, or up 76% year-on-year. In terms of capital deployment, AIF has already achieved 98% of our full-year business plan, closing 92.8 million euros of deals by the end of Q3, with another 5.4 million already signed and closing in Q4, together at a high aggregate gross money multiple of 1.9x. Last 12 months' adjusted EBITDA leverage is only at 3.1x, remaining well below our target range of 3.5x-4x, with an LTV of 65.1% versus 68.9% one year ago, versus 588 million euros of ERC. Turning to slide six, here we just illustrate the Veld Capital Group structure post the carve-out, which, as noted, is broadly unchanged. Veld Capital Limited, which advises AIF and the existing closed-end funds, was carved out of AnaCap Financial Partners Limited in the U.K. Management, responsible for all investment activities across AIF and our broader funds, own the majority of the management company, including AIF. AIF's asset solutions platform continues to provide master servicing, targeted special servicing, as well as underwriting and due diligence support across Veld Capital's entire portfolio of both debt and direct real estate. I'll now turn it back over to Eric for more detail on AIF's financial results.
Thanks. I'll now quickly cover the financial highlights on page eight. On that page, you can see our key financial KPIs for the nine months to September. The gross attributable collections increased to 108.4 million, which was 46% higher than for the same period last year and above our June 2022 collection forecast. Revenues were also up to 60.7 million, which was 31% up on previous year. As a result of our strong collections for the period, as well as our market-leading core collection cost ratio of 23.9%, our year-to-date EBITDA increased to 8 million, which is a 46% increase compared to last year, and our last 12-month EBITDA increased to 124.2 million, which was 76% above the same period last year. We also had a very good period of deployment, with 93 million invested in the period. As a result, our ERC increased by 17% versus prior year at 588 million, and our net debt increased to 383 million. Now turning to page nine, the graphs on the right show you the quarterly collection performance and deployment since 2021. You can see that our year-to-date collection performance was very strong, and our collection performance over the last 24 months was, on average, 9% above our most recent collection forecast. On the deployment front, we deployed 57 million in the quarter and 139 million in the last 12 months, which is significantly above our annual deployment target of 100 million. The deals closed in the quarter were a mix of direct real estate and secured NPL transactions and included four deals in the U.K., two in Italy, and one in France. Together with signed deals that will close in Q4, we now have visibility to achieving 98% of our annual deployment target at +1.9 gross money multiple. Moving to page 10, on this page, we wanted to show you the strong cash generation ability of the business. Our last 12-month EBITDA and resulting last 12-month free cash flow have been increasing consistently since 2021 and are supported by our strong collection performance and low fixed cost base. Our last 12-month free cash flow have now been above $100 million for the last two quarters, and our excess cash flow after replenishment are now at very attractive levels with $27 million for the last 12 months. Moving to page 11, on that page we show you our 84-month ERC curve as of September 2022. The light blue bar show you the impact that 2022 deployment had on replenishing our ERC curve in the coming years. As the majority of our 2022 deployment were direct real estate investment, this is reducing the weighted average life of our ERC curve, as real estate investments have a 3 to 4 year investment horizon compared to 7 years for NPL investments. We expect collections to remain strong and growing over the next few years on the back of our mature and seasoned portfolio, which gives us high visibility for collection. 54% of our 84 months ERC is being derived from assets purchased prior to January 2019. Finally, moving to page 12. As you can see from that page, our financial KPIs continue to be very healthy. Our leverage was 3.1 times, which is still below our long-term range of 3.5 to 4 times leverage. Our interest coverage ratio was 6.5 times, and our LTV decreased to 65%. We also maintained sufficient liquidity of $19 million as at the end of the quarter. We believe these metrics, together with our sustained collection and deployment performance, should be very supportive for potential refinancing of our bond. We continuously monitor the market and are currently considering various refinancing options with our financial advisors. I will now pass on to Tim to cover our asset solutions performance.
Thanks, Eric. Turning to slide 14, the strong deployment of $57 million in the quarter resulted in our ERC growing $588 million at the end of Q3. This has led to ACE portfolio becoming even more diversified. From a geographical perspective, our total Southern Europe exposure has reduced to just over 50% of ERC at quarter end. This is materially down from 71% a year ago, with our exposure to each of Italy, Spain and Portugal reducing during this period. This has been replaced by UK and France, where combined these two countries now represent 44% of ERC, or double the 22% from 12 months earlier. Over the same period, our deployment into direct real estate and secured NPLs, as Eric mentioned before, has resulted in the level of our ERC backed by collateral increasing to 87% or up 5% over the year. As you can see, direct real estate sits at around 50% of ERC now, up from 43% at June end. As mentioned by Eric and Justin, we had a good collections performance over the quarter, with the Asset Solutions team delivering $24 million of attributable gross collections, or 3% above target. Stated already, this is our 11th consecutive quarter of outperformance. In large part, this performance was driven by strong collections from our NPL books in Italy, Spain and Portugal, where the team continues their intense engagement with courts to accelerate legal proceedings, pressure amicable settlements and release cash in court. In parallel, we've implemented campaigns and initiatives that have successfully driven early sales in our real estate assets. Moving over the slide to slide 15 and to cover off our direct real estate portfolio. As mentioned, direct real estate reached 50% of total ERC at quarter end, with gross money multiples across the portfolio averaging a very attractive 2 times. Our strategy continues focusing on stable income generating assets, and as you can see from the chart on the right, almost 90% of our real estate ERC is coming from income generating core plus or value added real estate, largely office and retail assets, where, combined across these two asset types, they represent 78% of the total real estate ERC. It's worth noting our development exposure has reduced from 16% to 11% over the quarter, reflecting our deployment in Q3, again focusing on income generating assets. In terms of key updates on the real estate assets, we continue to see improvements in our main leasing markets. In Q3 in Paris, they had their highest quarterly take-up since 2017. This is up 45% year-on-year, and we've been able to capture some of this demand. Across our assets, occupancy rates have increased by 6% over the quarter to stand at 83% at the end of September. We're also seeing similarly strong demand take-up on our UK assets. Also, across the board, rent collections continue to be at or close to 100% each quarter. One overall theme we continue to see in all markets is that bifurcation between top locations and buildings that capture good quality tenants and the rest. This is a theme we're definitely benefiting from, again reflecting the high quality of assets we own. So overall, it was another positive quarter for the Asset Solutions team.
I'll now hand over to Justin to discuss the strategic outlook.
Thanks, Tim. Turning to slide 17. As mentioned earlier, with signed deals on track to complete in Q4, the company has already achieved 98% of full-year budget. Nevertheless, the pipeline continues to grow into year-end across a range of targeted, predominantly core geographies. The targeted asset mix remains across primarily real estate-backed debt and direct real estate, where without question, pricing and target returns continue to adjust to economic realities in the face of persistent inflation and rising interest rates generally. However, perhaps by not as much as we would like in NPL markets specifically, due to still relatively constrained supply. However, sharply rising rates and wider market volatility has resulted in an increasing flow of assets sold by motivated or distressed sellers in need of liquidity, with much publicized pressure on both public and private funds facing redemption pressures or wider liability challenges, forcing them to sell higher quality, more executable assets first. On the NPL front specifically, credit performance has thus far remained relatively benign, with NPL ratios across the European banking system remaining suppressed. However, with clear evidence of the overall balance of what are identified as Stage 2 loans continue to increase sharply, which when combined with wider economic stress will no doubt result in greater volumes of NPLs in the short to medium term. Turning to slide 18. Overall, after completing the carve-out from AnaCap, our business remains poised for continued growth, particularly as the cycle continues to turn and generate quite exceptional opportunities following an extended period of historically low rates. Meanwhile, collections performance in AIF has remained highly resilient, posting its 11th consecutive quarter outperforming forecast and trending well so far in Q4. This combined with AIF's predominantly variable and low fixed cost base is driving strong free cash flow and stable leverage, even as capital deployment increased again, with similarly strong to growing collections already embedded over the next 3 years as well. However, this also allows us to be patient, targeting only exceptional risk-adjusted returns rather than chasing volume. And given the uncertain backdrop, not only economically, but also in the financing markets, we remain very mindful of not only leverage, but liquidity. As such, and having effectively achieved our budget for the full year already, we do expect to increase liquidity in the near term, driving collections performance, and continue to evaluate various financing alternatives as the market evolves from here. Thanks for listening, and we're now happy to turn it over to questions.
Okay, operator, can you just open it up to the questions, please?
Dear participant, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star 2. We'll pause for just a quick moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We'll take our first question from Rory McLaughlin from Blackstone Credit. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the presentation. I was just wondering if you would be able to walk us through the next, say, 2 quarters. Obviously, with Q4, if you're still aiming for kind of 144 collections over the full year, you're looking at probably an EBITDA of 28, 29. So probably still a drop in LTM EBITDA. Where does leverage go, I think, in Q4 and Q1? Will there be enough liquidity to kind of hold it stable? Following on from kind of Q2, I think the gross money multiple is dropping from, I think, 2.3 to 1.9, so a bit of a large drop in terms of year-to-date deployment. Just wondering what's driving that. Thanks.
I think on the first question, I think you see from our speaker about, yes, you're correct, our Q4 target of pension is 34, so as a result, LTM will come down, but I think for the full year, because we had a good performance in Q2, we expect leverage to remain below the target range, I would say, so fairly stable. On your second question, was around, I missed the second question.
It's the second question around the slowdown in deployment over the course of the year. We didn't quite.
No, I think it was on the money multiple. No, sorry, you were mentioning the money multiple came down. Are you referring to a page specifically or?
Yes, if I look on year-to-date deployment, I think in Q2 it was 2.3. It's now sitting at 1.9.
I think with completed deals, we've been guiding to a target range of 1.8 to 2. So I think on a particular point in time in the year, based on what had already closed, it may have been inflated for some higher return deals. But I think we're certainly within the target range that we've set in our budget of trying to stay above 1.8 times and target somewhere between 1.8 and 2 in aggregate. And that was the expectation over the full year budget, which includes, you know, about 98% now done.
Perfect. Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Shahid Majid from Goldman Sachs. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for the presentation. Couple questions from my side, please. Firstly, I was hoping to know, do we have a sense of what the value is of the collateral-backed assets? Sorry, just to be more clear, the value of the collateral, securing the assets that constitute about 87% of the ERC?
This is a tough one on the NPL. I mean, obviously, we look at the valuation when we do our revaluation exercise twice a year in June and December. We don't have a number to quote you today. I would say that, you know, on the real estate side, it's probably more easy to give you a rough indication. I mean, obviously, when we make these investment real estate, we're targeting typically a 1.8, 1.9 gross money multiple on the investment. So and typically when we come in this investment, the entry yield is 8 to 10%. So we're getting a good discount to the assets day one. But from a collateral perspective on an NPL, I wouldn't be able to give you a number. I don't know, Tim, if we have.
No worries. I was just hoping to know, since I thought that was a number which we usually saw in the decks coming. Also, second question, please. What's the outlook on refinancing for the RCF and the term loan, which come due in a couple of quarters?
Well, the RCF has been extended to July 2023, and the term loan is a loan that is amortizing from collections. So 100% of the collections are going to amortize the loan. The expectation is that loan will be fully paid probably towards the end of Q1 or early Q2 next year. That's the expectation.
Sure. So on the RCF, I think we have about $90 million outstanding, which is due June 2023. That's correct.
That's due June 2020, correct. So, I mean, depending on the outcome of the refinancing, we probably will reach out to the lenders on the RCF to explore a potential extension of the RCF, probably to the end of the year, to give us a bit of breathing space to consider the right window to look at the refinancing of the bond. That's probably something that we'll do in the coming months. But for the time being, yes, it's expiring in July 2023.
Got it. Thank you. If I may overstay my welcome, just one more question, please. How do we see the ERC curve shifting in the future? I do understand, you know, given the macroeconomic backdrop and the kind of stage two loans going up, that presents a very good opportunity set in the short and medium term. But, you know, what's the impact of that on the existing portfolios? Can we expect more impairments, you know, going into year end or maybe first half of 2023?
I mean, as we sit here today, we do not expect impairments. I mean, we think we have a quite reasonable buffer still to our forecast recoveries. We've been consistently achieving at or above our asset values in terms of liquidating, so we think we still have a reasonable buffer for potential headwinds to come. We're not seeing any meaningful deterioration in performance at this point, again, mindful of economic realities, but I think so far has been exceptionally resilient. I think if you look further out in terms of the ERC curve, I think what you'll have noted is in the recent past, as we've accelerated real estate deployment, that tends to have a shorter average life of cash flows. So we are replenishing the years from 2024 onward in a typical investment horizon of a 3 to 4 year average life. So that the overall duration of our ERC curve has actually been coming down. Of course, as you said, as NPL formation increases, and we expect to deploy more capital in NPLs again, we'll probably balance that out. But still, certainly in our really focus between real estate and NPLs is still comfortably within an 84-month horizon. So even where we've been investing in NPLs historically, you remember, typically that is on a secured basis, comfortably within 84 months. So I'd say what's been shortening on real estate will probably increase again as NPL deployment picks up, but certainly stay well within a horizon that you historically would have seen from us of 5 to 7 years in aggregate.
Understood. Thank you so much. Just to make sure I got that right, on the refi for RCF, we're looking to sort of engage with lenders by the end of this year, or was it an extension towards the end of next year?
No, I mean, the RCF is expiring in July 23, so on the back of these results, to give us maybe some more flexibility, we'll probably approach the lenders on the RCF to see if they could consider an extension for the RCF. So that's something that we've discussed, so it's something that we'll explore to give us a bit more breathing space to have a bigger window for the refinancing.
Got it. So you mentioned that you'll be approaching the RCF lenders by the end of this year and not for an extension towards the end of next year, just to make sure I got that right.
Towards the end of next year, yeah. From July 23 to December 23.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 to ask for a question. We'll pause for just a quick moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. There are no further questions on the line, sir. Please proceed.
No more questions?
There are no more questions on the line, sir. You can proceed.
Well, thanks a lot, everybody. As usual, if there's anything, any follow-up questions, reach out to us through the website. Thanks. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect. I'm not the house.